big do you think he is? Is he big enough that he can care about the smallest thing in your life? Or is he only big enough to care about the big things and the big things?
Hey, 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 you guys. This is Brandon, and we have another episode of Unrefined Podcast for you. We have a special guest here who we've had on our show before, and I wanted to welcome her back. But first, we got Lindsay in the house.
Hey, guys. Ready to get into this one.
And I got kind of a special guest today, as well as our other guests, my better half, Sandy.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and the main guest who we got so much good response from her last podcast, I want to have her back on just to make us feel better. Because, you know, we're in the fringe world a lot of times, and I think a good balance of feel-good, positive, victorious Christianity is needed to be heard. That way we won't be worrying about our phones going off or 5G, you know, microwaving our brains all the time and stuff like that. Anyway, so welcome, April Snook. Hey, April.
Thank you. Hey, what a great introduction. I like that. Known for feel good theology. That's great. I'll take it.
No, I mean, it's good news, right? I mean, it in the gospel.
It is good news.
Good news, yeah. And I think that's what we really want to hone in today is on the fact that that word means good news. You know, growing up for years, it wasn't really good preaching, so-called, unless they stepped on your toes and reminded how many times. And I had a preacher who I love. I respect him. He's the one that brought me in the fold. I was ordained, believe it or not, Fundamental Independent Baptist, if y'all can believe that. That's crazy. Wow. I mean, because I'm so far from being a Fundamental Independent Baptist that anything. But this man was...
Hey, those are some good foundations.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, definitely the word, but it's only the King James word. But anyway, so every Sunday, God rest his soul, was an evangelistic sermon. And I never learned to be a disciple. And it's not his fault. It's a system. It's not a person. And I always thought the gospel was, you need to get right with God or you're going to hell. And I've just realized over the past, I guess, say 15 or so years, that that's a real truncated gospel. And it's just not, it's not big enough. So I wanted to have April on here to expand our outlook on what really is good news. Start off with this, April. What would be good news to you? How would you define good news?
Well, to me, with good news, I will just tell you, this is what I know, and this is what I share, is how to do life with God. And the good news is not just that Jesus came so that we could spend eternity with him, which sounds big, and it is big.
Yep.
And it's like, that is probably the bigness of the gospel, but I really... The detail of the gospel, almost like the smallness, the small areas is where you find like this, the bigness is when the fact that he wants to spend every single moment with you. You know, he didn't just come so that you could spend eternity. He wants to spend right now. We seem to think like eternity is later on instead of realizing eternity starts right now. Mm-hmm. It's a period of, it's without time. There is no end to it. So if there is no end to eternity, in a sense, there's no beginning either. And it's forever. And that starts the moment you become his, the moment you yield yourself to him, you are now in eternity with him. And he wants to do every single little thing with you. And the Bible talks about we have the mind of Christ. And you literally have his mind on the inside. And you can learn to tap into the Holy Spirit and think with him. And he wants to, I mean, I've been a stay-at-home mom for over 20 years. We've got 4 kids. Our oldest is 22 and our youngest is 13 now and 2 in the middle. And I mean, I've learned to get my groceries with the Lord and learn to pick what are we doing for school this year? Are we homeschooling? Are we public schooling? Are we, you know, making all these decisions? What jobs do we take? What jobs do we not take? And learning to think with him and about what should I make for dinner? And really, he is so present He just wants to do everyday life with us because he's so in love with us. That focusing on that kind of love and the reality that he moved himself into the inside of you will change your perspective of everything, including eternity, the afterlife, but it changes everything right now.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because John Wesley has a famous quote. He says, "The best of all is God is with us." And he was playing off the name.
Man, he said it better. Amen.
He's playing off the word Emmanuel. And you know, when you were talking just now, you know, that's it. That is the gospel. Yeah. He is the gospel. God with us. And Sandy can tell you all kinds of stories about, I hear the peanut butter story coming, Sandy, if you want to tell that one, about how he cares about all these little bitty things. And there's like nothing that's so minuscule that God can't be involved with us. And I ask him for stupid stuff. I mean, and it's not stupid to him though. It's important to me. And there was a big shift though in my life when I went from seeing him as someone who provides things and goods to someone who just wants to be with me. And the goods and things we receive are kind of like side benefits, sort of.
Yeah.
That really transformed my relationship with him. So, Sandy, you want to tell that story?
Well, that's not actually the one that came to mind. The one that came to mind for me is one I actually shared earlier this week with a group of ladies. And
yeah, so tell it.
And so you might get to tell the peanut butter story later. But for me, the details of God, he wired me to be a very detailed person. And so I like to take care of all the little things in the background. But one day I lost an earring. And for me, this was an earring that Brandon had given me. And it wasn't that it was just an earring. It was the fact that it was from him. And so I cried out to God and said, I hardly ever wear these earrings. They've been so special to me that I've kept them in a drawer. And now I want to wear them. And I've lost this one earring. And not only did I pray and the Lord led me to find it, but the next day I found the back to it, which I thought was going to be lost forever. And it was just the fact that God spoke to me in that moment and says, look, I even care about the little things. Like, you have other earrings that you could wear, but this one was special to you because it was a gift from your husband. And so I care enough that I'm going to help you find it. And I went right to where it was. It wasn't like, you know, like I just, it's like I intuitively knew where to look. And it was because Holy Spirit was telling me. And so when I realized that I had that ability to hear him, even in the little things, I started to listen a little more intently. And, you know, there's times I lose that. Like, that's why I was telling that story this week to these women, was it came back to me that I have forgotten that he cares about the details. He numbered he knows the number of the hairs on our head. So why wouldn't he care about the details? And so I realize how special that makes me. And if I value how he values me, then I will value others well.
That's really good. Yeah, that's true.
Profound. Yeah, that's good.
That is. That's really good. It's amazing. He is perfect. And when you realize how perfect he is, and not just that he came to redeem us so that, again, we could be with him in our perfected state in heaven, but he wants the journey and the experience of walking with us right now. It's so humbling when you really step back, but it's the amount of love, it's such a security as well, because religion wants to focus on maybe like the big asks, maybe like a big ask of healing or something. And then a lot of religions will say, well, maybe he'll do that for you, versus the ones that are like, Jesus already did it for you. You know, the truth of the word is Jesus already did it for you. But focusing in on, he didn't just do the big stuff for us. He put himself in relationship to do everything with us. And it is the joy that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him, and realizing that joy was us. The joy wasn't that he was going to go back to heaven with his Father. We were the joy set before him, that we got to be with the Father again. and the joy of the Father to get to be with us again. And that really takes a lot of the fear. It takes a lot of the depression. It will take the hopelessness. It takes the wind out of the enemy's sails of all of his lies. When you just will focus on Emmanuel, God with us, that is the good news. You're right. And he cares about the earrings and the peanut butter and the, all of it. And he wants to show himself real and present in our lives.
Yeah, so I can always hear the naysayers in my head. I think I need to tell them to buzz off in Jesus' name. But, you know, the naysayers, immediately I hear them, oh, doesn't this trivialize God? You know, just focusing on these little things all the time. And yeah, so how would you address that?
I guess it depends on how big do you think he is, you know? And I heard a story one time that I really love, and it was this guy that did something great for this king in another country. And the king was like, I want to honor you. What can I give you just an appreciation gift? And the guy was like, really, you know, oh, you don't need to do anything for me. He was there to serve. And he was like, no, I want to give you a gift. And he said, well, I don't know, a golf club would be great. I love playing golf. That would be a blessing. I love that. And so a few months went by, and he kind of thought, wow, I guess the king forgot about it. And anyway, a few months later, this person comes to the front door with this title deed to a golf club and gave it to him. And the king bought him a golf club, not just a golf club that you hit the ball with. And it was just an example of, that's a picture of the abundance of the king. And the king, how big do you think he is? Is he big enough that he can care about the smallest thing in your life? Or is he only big enough to care about the big things and the people that are in the most need? And you know, he is so big. He is so big. He created the atoms. He is so big. He created the things that I don't know what they're called that are smaller than the atoms. You know, he is such a detailed God. He's the God of the that made the slime and the mold and these tiny little micros. He's the God that made the mountains and the trees. And so to think that he would put that much detail in creation that cannot love him back, and that he would be less interested on the smallest of the details of our life, is so demeaning, I think, to his greatness, his bigness, and his love for us. I mean, that's my thinking.
Well, I've noticed in my life that, and even in being married to Sandy too, that it's the little things that that tear me up, that bring the sentimentality. It's the it's the little things that could be overlooked, but I'm so important to God or to Sandy or to whoever's giving the gift that they listened and they picked up that little small thing. I mean, maybe I'm weird, but yeah, those little things. But I get where Lindsay's coming from. A lot of people will say, oh, well, we need to have, you know, fear of God and be afraid of his wrath, and we don't need to make him trite and all that kind of stuff. And I just, my personal opinion is, I don't think that has to be, and I'm not talking to Lindsay about this, I'm talking about to those naysayers. I don't think it has to be an either or. I think it could be a both and.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, isn't that exactly what Jesus meant with all that talk of sparrows and flowers there? I mean, those are small things.
Yeah.
Hairs on our
head. But he's a father, and a good father. And I think that's part of the challenge, is there really hasn't, so many people have such terrible experiences with fathers. And I had a great father. What a gift. And a great grandfather. Wonderful man. And so a good father, there is a respect and there is a godly fear where you don't want to disappoint. You don't want to get in trouble. You know, you don't want to have to be corrected. And you want to please, not from an unhealthy place, but from a love place. But there's also, the dad will hold you and he'll hug you and he'll, you know, get you little treats and buy you ice cream and get you a car when you need a car and get you the little things as well. He's a father. And if you haven't experienced a really good father where you have that healthy respect and comfort, casual, just comfort, love relationship where you can just, you know, go up to them and ask for anything that you need. I can understand how people would have a difficulty relating to God in both of those areas.
Yeah. April, you said it with relationship. I was just thinking about the difference in, you know, people that are in relationship with somebody. You want to know the details of them, who they are. I was just relaying that to our life and ministry as a retreat center. We would have tons of people come through, and the people that I actually had time to sit down with and develop relationship with, when they would come back, I knew how they took their coffee. I mean, because I cared enough, you know what I'm saying? And I'm a detailed person.
You're right.
So therefore, I wanted to remember the details of something as simple as how they took their coffee. And you would be surprised at how much that touches somebody just to remember something small about them that seems insignificant, but that if you don't put sugar and cream in somebody's coffee and just give it to them black and they don't like it that way, then they're going to, you know, they're going to notice. But it's just that I think I got hung up in it because as a kid, I was always taught the devil's in the details. And so that was a lie I began to believe in my relationship.
And he is in a lot of people's.
Yeah.
He is in a lot of people's because they've only put God in maybe the big, big things and left the details to the devil.
Right. And so, for Brandon and I mean, Brandon can probably remember this early on. We got married and then 15 months later, had our first child. And so we were newlyweds. And then, boom, the next year we have a baby. And it was like I was caught up in being a wife.
And church.
Yeah, we did a lot of stuff in the first 5 years.
And I was in seminary.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. You're in seminary. But but Brandon was like, we've got to practice these things we're learning. And I just remember early on, and one of them was, in our relationship with God, do I trust him or not? Because here I was with a newborn baby, and the first time he had a fever, I'm rushing him off to the doctor. And, you know, we began to practice in the small things, like we're going to believe him for healing of sniffles or teething pain, or, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to believe him for, we have a headache. Let's ask him to relieve our headache before we go and pray for somebody's healing for cancer.
Yeah.
If we don't practice those things, the small things, how are we going to believe him for the big things?
Yeah, that's right. Well, and it's practice. I mean, I think I told last time the story of raising a fish from the dead. And so, you know, realizing that, hey, I might need this at some point. I believe this. So let's practice. And it seems silly and ridiculous. And some people would think that God would be so offended by that. I mean, faith pleases God. I think there's just some things that just makes him giggle with joy watching those kids practice and believe him. And it was a fish, but you know what? That experience built my faith, and he taught me a lesson through it and spoke to my heart, and I could just feel his pleasure. But then there's just the doing life with God where he will lead you preemptively before things happen. Our daughter, I guess it was, 2020. And the Lord said at the beginning of 2020, he had given me a word, a prophetic word, really, and just laid out some things that was our nation was going to be going through. And so we had no fear, no concern through all of that, because we had a word from the Lord at the beginning. But God told us in January to start taking communion every day with the kids, not just a religious act, but just read it, take communion and read Psalms 91. And so we did as a family. We didn't do it in fear. We did it in faith based on hearing from the Lord. This is what God spoke to our heart. And I always like to say, because people wonder, how do you hear God? It's not an audible voice. I'm not hearing an audible voice. The way I hear from God is it sounds, it's a thought that comes up from my heart, not down from my head. And as you start hearing him, and as you read the word of God, and you hear those thoughts that are coming out from your heart, you can literally start finding the difference within yourself between your own soul and your mind and your thoughts and emotions versus the voice of the Holy Spirit within you. And so that's what I mean by when I hear the voice of the Lord. And so we started reading Psalms 91. And my daughter all of a sudden started having terrible symptoms, pains, vomiting, And we ended up taking her in, and she had her appendix had ruptured. Wow. And she was turning green. Hmm. And when they went in there, we're like, we have our own business. We're self-employed. We don't have health insurance. And so you can imagine that was one thing that I had always been really concerned about. I thought this could absolutely wreck our finances. We could lose everything. We could lose everything with a medical emergency. And going to God. And the doctor came in and he said, when they did a scan, he said, it's so interesting. He said her body created a wall and a shield around the infection that was about the size of a softball inside of her.
Wow.
And when he said that, I thought, wall and a shield, that sounds familiar. And sure enough, in Psalms 91, it says, my faithfulness will be a wall and a shield around you. And so standing, being obedient to the word of the Lord that said, read Psalms 91 over your family every day, actually spoke that over a situation we didn't know we were going to need to have, that her body needed his, we needed his faithfulness to create a wall and a shield around her. So when that infection was released into her body, a wall and a shield of the faithfulness of God encapsulated that thing. They were able to drain it. It took a week in the hospital. And I'm sitting out there and I said, Lord, I just feel like Satan has us between a rock and a hard place. I mean, we could lose everything. And I heard the voice of the Lord again, a thought that comes up from my heart, not down from my head. And I heard him say, the worst thing that Satan can do to you is get you in a position to need more of me. Mm-hmm. And you know how to have more of me. And that's his word. We know that. That's his word, his promises. And so we just stood on his promises. And do you know, we got the bill in the mail that we had been dreading. Well, the Lord also said, Satan has this between a rock and a hard place. And he said, that rock is me. Get behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of feeling like we were pressed to be crushed, in my mind, I visualized tucking behind that rock. Instead of me experiencing the brunt of Satan really just crushing us, I visualized myself in my imagination of tucking myself behind him as a rock that the enemy now was pressing against him. And I was safe and sheltered. And this is the imagination of faith. You know, people use their imagination for all sorts of terrible things, but this is the imagination of faith, of really meditating, visualizing in your mind, imagination, seeing ourselves tucked behind, safely behind the Lord. Not only was our daughter safe, you know, healed and blessed, but when we got that bill in the mail, it said zero. Wow. Zero. Have no idea how.
That's really cool.
Have no idea. But God just took care of that whole situation. But preemptively, obedience, the first line of protection, I believe, is obedience. You know, hearing from the Lord, you start meditating on this promise of mine. You start meditating on this promise. You start declaring this of who I am in your life. Before the enemy ever came, before that situation ever came against us, that promise was already working in her body. And that's what doing life with God is. It's not just in the middle of a situation, you start looking for a solution from the word or with God. You're living your life knowing that God has solutions to everything that's coming. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he will tell you things to come. He'll prepare you. So you are always prepared when you're doing life with God, because you have the answers on the inside of you from the Holy Spirit.
Well, and two, I was thinking about when you were saying that just then, the verses, I think they're in 2 Timothy. We just read this with our men's Bible reading. It was talking about a farmer or soldier, and I can't remember the other profession.
Athlete,
but,
I think, or
is it? Yeah, athlete. That's what it was. But I think about soldiers, and there's this expression: readjust, adapt, and overcome, or something like that. I don't know if it's the Marines or the Army that says that, but I think about that in what you're saying, that we need to be trained So therefore, when we're put in this situation, what comes out of us is that, and not the spiritual pus, so to speak, not the woundedness and the and all that kind of stuff. That then when we're ready, when the attack happens, what comes out of us is our training. And it's almost like we're trained in our bodies to for that to be our natural reaction to the devil's
it says guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. I mean, just think about that, the issues of life. That is that carries through your entire life, your children's lives. That covers the smallest things to the largest things. And we're supposed to guard our heart because out of it flows the issues of life, the solutions for life, the ones that will either cause problems. We can get ourselves in problems. Satan doesn't even have to do it sometimes. We can get ourselves in problems because of things in our heart. And we can get avoid problems based on what we're putting in our heart. And this, the heart is where we really, it's connected to the mind, and what we choose to focus on and think on gets into our heart, what we're talking about. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you know where people are at based on what they're saying. You know if somebody has fear in their heart, unbelief, or depression based on just how they're talking, and we can renew that and change that so that when things do happen, when society falls apart, when the government makes terrible decisions, when it seems like every force physically and in hell are coming against us, we are able to function from the kingdom of God. We're able to function from the peace of God because we've been not meditating on what the news is saying or what this is happening in our economy, but we're looking to the word of God. We're looking to the promises of God, and we're renewing our mind. We're filling up our heart with confidence that we serve the God that can multiply the fish and the bread. We're serving the God that can pull a gold coin out of a fish's mouth. We're serving the God that, you know, he can turn any situation. I mean, God shines, his people shine the brightest in the middle of when everybody else is suffering, because it's his people that make a decision to live differently and from a different source. It's like, this is our greatest moment right here. When the economy is tanking, this is our greatest moment to start seeing the provision of God, because we're uncomfortable and we press into him more.
Yeah, I think that goodness that we were talking about earlier is his goodness and love are the foundation of all of that. We've been having discussions just amongst some guys and stuff, and talking about love that even in his even in some of his what I'd call sketchy, not that God's sketchy, but things that would look sketchy from just a peruse of the Bible. You know, if we know that he is good, and we've laid that foundation that he is good and that he is love, then I say this all the time, and I don't remember where I got it from, but I've kind of taken it and changed it for myself. If it's not good yet, God's not done yet. I don't know if it was Chris Valentin or somebody said that. Anyway, I take it now. And so, you know, we have to go back to that goodness, because it's that goodness that causes us to go to the promises and believe the promises. That's the foundation. I would think that it's what Jesus is talking about on the good sand, that knowledge of God, that he is for us and not against us.
Yes. I think that's absolutely key.
When you know somebody and then you're participating with them in life, like how you do life with God, things just flow differently. For instance, a friend of ours told us this story about making cookies with Jesus. And I think this applies to what we're talking about, is he heard the Lord say, "Hey, I want to make cookies with you." So he was going to the kitchen to get all the stuff out. And he realized after he made the first batch that he really didn't do that with Jesus. He just kind of said, "Oh, I'm making cookies. And he did it himself. And then he tasted them and they tasted yuck. They were just awful. So then he realized that if he had done it with Jesus, that he could have participated with him and they probably would have been better. So then he goes back and he redoes it. But the point being is that we can do a lot of things that we feel like God tells us or wants us to do in life, how to be with him and really not participate with him in it. And I think that's the point that I'm I had gotten to really in my life was I had hurt him or thought I'd hurt him. And then that became, did I really do those things with him? And now Brandon and I being in a different season of marriage and life, our kids are getting older and going to be leaving home. And we're going to be in this new season of empty nest at some point. And just thinking about how, you know, we want to do life with God in a different way than maybe we have in the past. Like, we want to learn from those small steps that we took, so we'll be ready to take the larger journey with him into bigger things maybe. And just, and sharing it with him instead of saying, this is just a really good idea I had. Let's pray about it. Make sure this is a God idea. 'Cause we've had so many good ideas. We can tell stories about all our good ideas that weren't God ideas that turned out terribly, but it's in that relationship. It's in that, you know, I can say I've read about Jesus, and I did as a kid. I thought I knew who Jesus was. And then as I became a young adult and through tragedy that happened in my life, I realized that I didn't have a relationship with him. And then entering a relationship with him, you want to do things with him and you want to walk with him. And there's so many different, you know, Christian teachings out there of how to hear God, how to walk with God. And some of them are legalistic and some of them aren't, but just in the simple steps. I think that's what we're talking about today, is more of knowing God and his goodness and the simplicity of being able to hear him when you stop and you consider the small things.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think you can, you know, you can do things, to your point, you can do things for God and not do them with him, but you cannot do things with God and not end up doing things for him. And I think if you will make that your focus, is to do things with God, to just do life with God, I guarantee you will do things for God. But religion, and if you're called to ministry and you got this passion, you just want to do things for God, you're right. It's so easy to take that zeal and do it completely separate from doing it with him. And I really realized over the years, it's like God is not interested in what I can do for him. He's interested in what I can do with him. He's interested in spending time with me. And if I will just make that my focus, I will do things for him. And it will be so much greater than anything I could ever envision doing on my own, because it's his power working through us that changes people's lives. You know, I have nothing within myself. And for a little bit, I got kind of down and poor me early on, because I remember crying one day to God and I'm like, the only good thing about me is you. It's like, you're the only special thing about me. And, you know, and it was so, so sweet. And he just loved on me and stuff. But then you get to the place where it's like, wait a second, I am special. And he made me, he made this about me, and he made this about me, and he made this about me. But you plug it into the power of who he is, and that's where you shine.
Well, and you saying that, April, reminded me of a conversation that you and I had earlier about the end result, like how we're always trying to get to the abundant life, or to we think we're going to arrive somewhere.
Oh, yeah, we were. Well, seeing how we were joking about how many, you know, that mindset about arriving, like if I can just this moment, I know when you're in your 20s or teens, if I can just do this, if I could just write that book, if I could, you know, be a movie star, whatever it is. And how many of the 80s movie stars that had arrived, or 90s movie stars that were like the it person, are doing like Pepto-Bismol commercials now.
Yeah.
If they're alive.
If they're alive. Yeah. Life goes on. It is a process. And taking that, it really is fighting against the world's mentality of you're living your life and you're working for a moment. That one moment will define who you are. One moment will say you're successful, versus really stepping back and looking at life. Life is a process. And if you look in the Word of God, Jesus gives in Mark 4, he gives this parable and this picture of the kingdom of God within you is like a seed that is planted, and it grows and it becomes this large tree where birds and the animals find refuge. And the kingdom of God, even though the kingdom of God is perfect and complete, the kingdom of God is sown into us as a seed, and it's a process. And a process is progress. And when you just look in the Word of God, you see where Jesus is helping his disciples to progress, to be transformed more and more like him. And that is what life is. We are never going to just have that one moment of arriving. And the Bible warns us in the last days about even the elite being deceived. And that's the elite, I think, in the kingdom of God are people that we would look at in ministry and say, oh, they have arrived. And that's a dangerous mindset, because the moment you think, oh, I have arrived, you've really now blinded yourself to the growth, and it's pride is what it is. But focusing on how can I live today better? God, I really messed up. I messed up talking to my kid like that. I really messed up saying those things. Forgive me, and I receive your forgiveness. And Lord, help me to grow past this. And that's where the hope is found. And I just went through a situation where it was really hard. I felt really down. I felt rejected. And I can tell you, in the middle of it, I was so thankful. I mean, I'm crying, and I'm poor me, and I'm mad at myself because I messed up. And even in the middle of it, I was so thankful for the foundation that I have of the goodness of God and the love of God. I mean, I felt like I was so far away from the fulfilling the plans and the calling on my life. But I knew enough, because of that foundation of the goodness and love of God, that I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know what? He is the same God who has the same good plans for me when I felt like I was on the top of the world and like, oh, anything is possible. I'm so full of vision and motivation, and this is going to be awesome. As he is right now, when I feel so far away from that, when I have no motivation, I have no vision, it's like, you cannot tell me he's changed in 8 months. God has not changed in 8 months that drastically. It is me. It is me. It's my emotions. It's choices I'm making. And it's the enemy coming against me. So once you're able to just settle the goodness of God, the love of God, then you do not get lost in this labyrinth of lies of the enemy that you have messed up so bad, or that God has distanced himself, or that he's punishing you, or you know what? God has put you in the wilderness. You're going to have to roam there and learn some lessons. You just get, you know, you get settled on the goodness of God. And there's, I mean, God is the Old Testament. That is who God is. At the same time, we do have new covenants. And Jesus came and not just revealed the Father. He revealed the adversary. He revealed the enemy. And he also revealed how we work, you know, the soul and mm-hmm. the renewing of the mind in the Gospels. We see that through the disciples. And so there are things that even looking in the Old Testament that I'm like, okay, the way this reads doesn't quite line up with the goodness and the love of God that I know. Now let's look at that through the difference of covenant. Okay, well, that helps. That makes sense. And some things you just put a pin in and you're like, I think I said this last podcast, I'm not ever going to say the Word of God's not true, but I'm also not going to agree with something that I know doesn't fit with who I know God is. So I'm going to put a pin in it and pray in the Holy Spirit and just wait. I'm not going to have an opinion about it until right. I get revelation from the Holy Spirit. And I think people start moving and they get opinions about things that they don't understand. They try to justify it within their own understanding. And that's where they get an error. And then the enemy uses that as a field day to be like, oh, well, you know, welcome to your 40 years in the desert. You really screwed that up, you know?
Well, let me, Lindsay, you have anything you want to ask or any input?
Well, yeah, just you made me think of a Hudson Taylor quote earlier. I mean, we've shot way past this, but I couldn't let it go. It's, your story about, you know, God and hiding behind the rock and all that, it made me think of this. It doesn't really matter how great the pressure is. He used to say, it only matters where the pressure lies. See that it never comes between you and the Lord. Then the greater the pressure, the more it presses you to his breast. And I just thought that was a little different perspective. You were more thinking about hiding behind God, but from this perspective, it's more like, well, even the thing you're getting protected from God for, if there's nothing between you and him, the most it can do is press you against him, push you against him closer. So, yeah, I thought
that's
about that
really
quote.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's good. I have a friend, and she was going through major rejection from her husband and headed into a divorce. And I heard her, she was saying, talking about just being rejected. And I so clearly heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, and he said, he's not rejecting you. He's rejecting me. Get behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord was saying, "This it feels like it's a rejection of you. It's a rejection of me. He's rejecting me. He's rejecting my plans for him. He's rejecting my word. He's rejecting my commandments to him as a husband, as a father. You position yourself behind me, that rock that we're talking about." And you're right, letting that pressure point and taking refuge in the love of God, of who God is, as a comforter, as a lover of her soul, as the provider, and just seeing that protection behind who God is, mm-hmm. and letting that pressure rest on him, which is what we see. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's,
you
interesting.
Know, putting it on him.
I'm reading that book right now. I try to read it every few months. It's a little bitty book by a patriarch in the faith, and I read Casting Your Cares on the Lord every few months or so. Yeah, that verse is just, I think it's almost one of my life verses because it's so crucial. April, I wanted to go a similar direction, but kind of I wanted to dive into some real practical stuff here. Say you had somebody, a new young lady or a new young woman that came to you, and you were going to begin to lay the foundation of the goodness of God and all that with her. How would you do that? What would be your take? What would be some practical things that you would teach her to do that?
I always take people to John 10:10, where Jesus really, it's like, this is your filter for life.
Mm-hmm.
John 10:10 is your filter. This is how you filter everything that happens in your life through. And what this is like the foundation. It's Jesus says, the thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy.
Okay.
But I've come to give life and life abundantly. And I see that as a very clear line in the sand that Jesus drew, saying, if it's stealing and killing and destroying, if this is bringing any of these things into your life, your finances, your health, your nation, this is a thief. This is Satan. But I've come to give life and life abundantly. And so, right, that's the first thing, and that goes back to getting that foundation of the goodness of God.
Right.
Let's put the right filters on so that we're not confused and lost in a wilderness of, you know, or labyrinth of lies. So that's the first thing, and then I start really talking to him about you can hear from God. You can hear from God, and my sheep hear my voice, and as strangers they will not follow. And so building up that confidence that they can hear from God. So you need to say, I can hear from God. I can hear. And I teach them what that sounds like. It's a thought that comes up from your heart, not down from your head.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're reading the word, like as you read the word, be listening. The Holy Spirit's your teacher. So you want to say, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to teach me today. Show me things I've never seen before. Give me understanding and know how to apply this to my life. And as you sit, and whether you're reading the Old Testament or the New Testament, and you're listening right there within, around your heart area, which is where I believe the Spirit of God is, where your spirit is, where that voice comes from, those thoughts come from, I said, start listening. And if you realize that your attention is being drawn to a certain verse, keep reading that verse and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it about this verse? What am I supposed to be seeing? Because building the confidence in people that they can hear the voice of God is key to, I think, everything else moving forward. It's also a key for them not to just start looking to you as their Holy Spirit. It's really giving that confidence that you can have your very own personal relationship with God. He wants it. You can hear from him. He wants you to hear from him. He's right on the inside of you.
And have you noticed that when you teach them how to hear, and then they carry it through to the obedience part, it's almost like that obedience part shores up the fact that they heard correctly. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes. Well, and you can trust the Lord. I mean, that's one of the things about discipleship that is so fun is, and you have to be able to trust the Lord. It's like my job is to make the introduction. I'm saying it's almost like, you know, hey, mm-hmm. hey, Sally, this is Jesus. Jesus, Sally. Now y'all go talk, you know, y'all go visit, you know, but I'm giving them the skill sets of this is how you talk. This is how you visit. This is what the relationship looks like. But the moment they start, the moment someone hears the voice of God in their heart for themselves to see how they light up, and then you're right. The Holy Spirit will lead them into, He will lead them into confirmation that they're hearing from Him. He will lead them. You know, like a friend would go and say, I really just felt like I should go to this grocery store. And sure enough, they were giving this away, or, you know, them experience that God wants to show Himself. He wants to. And we can be confident. Sandy knows, but we've gone through some really hard stuff with one of our older kids and some major rebellion. And I remember gut crying on the front lawn at 11 o'clock at night with some information that we found. And I heard the voice of the Father. I mean, it was talking about the fear of the Lord from earlier. It was it brought me to my knees of just in reverence of Him. And I'm just crying in despair and distraught and heartbroken. And I just heard the Lord say so strong. He said, I am not intimidated by free will. I am confident in my ability to show myself.
And that's profound.
It took the wind out of the sails of the enemy's lies. And I just got really quiet. And I thought, you know what? I don't know that I can say that I'm confident in the turnaround just yet. I don't know that I can say I'm confident, but I am confident in Your confidence, God. I'm confident in Your confidence to show Yourself. And we need to be confident that He wants to show Himself. The pressure's not on us to even lead people to Christ. We just have to go back to doing life with Him. You'll do things for Him. When you're living life with Him, people will see Him in your life. And you are just making an introduction. Your testimony is shining the light on the goodness and the love of God. And I promise you, we were created with a hunger for that. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to try to draw up a hunger within somebody. We were created. It doesn't matter if somebody's like, no, I wasn't. I hate God. It's in your DNA. It's in you were created in the image of God DNA. It's in every single person to desire and hunger for Him once they're exposed to it. The pressure's not on us, and He'll take it from there.
The most important thing for me was to take that next step in obedience of I hear Him, but what do I do with it? And it was in giving it away, like sharing that testimony you're talking about, April, and telling what He's done and His faithfulness and His goodness to me, even in those little small things. And if I give it to somebody else and then they receive it, it's like planting a seed and then it grows.
Yeah, that's so. Tell about, because you were at like a women's meeting, and you said that you, because we visit on the side away from you guys, but you were saying that you sat there quiet through the whole thing, just kind of listening, and you heard the Holy Spirit share, just tell you to share one thing, and it changed. You don't have to share what that was if you don't want to, but talk about that, because that's so key.
Yeah, so what had happened was I had become stagnant, and I knew this. I had not been sharing. I felt like I hadn't really been hearing the Lord very well, and I had all these lies. I was in that labyrinth of lies, and I went to a Bible study, got invited to it, and these women are sharing and talking throughout. And I heard the Lord remind me of something. And then it happened a second time. He reminded me, and I kept staying quiet. And then the third time it came to me, there was like a lull, and the lady was kind of working to explain something. And I said, may I add something here? And I just simply shared something that had been going on in my life and a story that I had of God's goodness and faithfulness to me. And then at the end of the Bible study, they ask a question, and it's like nobody heard anything past the point of me sharing. Just me sharing that was what several of the women needed in that group that day. And I thought, if I had kept that to myself, Lord, I would have been in disobedience, because you reminded me three times, you urged me to tell it. And I didn't think it was that significant or important, but it was the fact that I was obedient to do it, not even knowing that. And these were women I didn't know, really. So it wasn't like I knew they needed to hear the story. And I realized, though, that I have a part to play, that in my obedience, if I don't share what he gives me, then I'm a hindrance potentially to somebody else that needed what I have.
Yeah. And it fed that faith in you too.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and there's something you and I were sharing, and I know this, but see what it was. It was just knowledge to me at the time, is that we're to have streams of living water flowing from us, that we don't just keep it all to ourselves. I had become stagnant. I had this image that I was just a pond that didn't have any water coming in or out. And as I began to share and to give away what I have, I'm flowing again. I'm like a river. I'm not just, you know, hoarding it all to myself.
That's so good.
That's something that just hit me. I wanted to share. It's like, in the West, we put such a premium on knowledge, that if you are knowledgeable about different things, then you are spiritually mature. And we don't really talk about relational maturity or emotional maturity, which I think is actually more important than the two of them. But when Sandy said that, she had knowledge, but it's when that relationship met that knowledge that it became revelation.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And that just hit me like a ton of bricks. That, and it goes back to the whole expanse of why we just did a podcast on Divine Counsel Worldview, and that all started my journey about why did God make angels. And I realized that God made a family. That's the whole big picture. And DeVern Fromke is really good about speaking into this and stuff, about the big wide expanse of what God's plan was. And the cross and redemption and all that was important, but it was a sidebar for God making a family. First he made the angels, or the Elohim, and then he made us. And I guess it goes back to what we were talking about the simple things. It's not that he's trying to get us to a journey, to a place to arrive. He just wants to be with us. And he just wants to have a relationship with us, which is real basic, but that's why he created everything. It's just for that. And so it's almost like that needs to be filtered through everything we do. And that's why I was thinking about that. You know, I can have head knowledge, and I have, believe me, tons of it, and I'm not bragging, but it can honestly be a double-edged sword in a lot of ways. You think you're too smart for your own good. But when that relationship meets that knowledge, it becomes revelation to my heart, and I see him. So anyway.
That's so good. Well, Jesus, he knew all things, right? Jesus knew all things. And it says he only did what he saw his Father do, and he only said what he heard his Father say. So it's that life of fellowship with the Father, the Holy Spirit, that even though he knew all things, the faith and the power was released in that submission, in that obedience, just like what Sandy, you know, she wasn't just talking and being part of the conversation to share what she knew. She was listening, and she was waiting until she had a word from the Holy Spirit. She heard what the Father had for her to say, and those words carried within it power to transform lives that she could have said the same thing on a different day, but without the prompting of the Holy Spirit, it wasn't a container for the power that was needed. So it's relationship, and really just think about how much Jesus knew, and just picture how much walking around did he do, keeping his mouth shut, but just hearing from the Holy Spirit where to walk to, what town to go to, who to talk to, what to say. And it's so relationship. And in a sense, it feels just so casual and comfortable. He's walking around. He's going where he shows him to go. He's saying and speaking to you. And He's interacting with people. He's changing lives. He's sharing knowledge. But you don't see any of this big pressure. Like, he's not walking around with like, oh, I hope I do it right. You know, I hope I get, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. he's so comfortable with the Lord and so much reverence and just the fellowship. And that's how we can live our life with the Lord.
Yeah. And then I wonder how that plays into the, we love the Lord with all our hearts. How does that play into we love our neighbor as ourselves? If we just cut through all the, just the junk, just the little things that get in the way. And I've thought about that several times. You know, my pride gets in the way and I don't want to send this text to this person and say, look, I love you. I'm sorry. And it's like, you just, we just get in the way of that. And Jesus didn't, he was satisfied in his own skin as well. He was okay that he knew that he could have relationship with people, and people rejected him, and he was like, okay, well, that's fine. And I think that it just goes back to that relationship that he had founded on the Father, that he had the goodness of God as the foundation in his manhood, so to speak. He had the goodness of God as his foundation. And so he knew if that guy rejected him, then somebody else might not. And it sounds like optimism, but it's more than optimism. It's more than positive thinking. It's more than that. I guess it's like looking at God's world through God's eyes.
It's confidence in the love of God. There's a scripture that I've got in my house, and it's 1 John 4:16, and I've got it as trust the love. Trust the love is how I've just got it. Boy, a lot of translations say believe the love. This is the love that we believed. And really, I would encourage your listeners to read 1 John 4. The whole chapter is a love chapter. And it connects the love of God to loving other people, to perfect love casts out fear. I mean, this is like love is freedom. And the confidence in the love of God helps you love other people through his Spirit. It casts out fear. It will keep you from being manipulated by the enemy, of fear of not being good enough, of not having success. And I mean, depression and all those things, I really think the root of anger, depression, all these things are fear. Mm-hmm. And so perfect love casts out fear. So 1 John 4 is such a powerful scripture, but I have it just in my house, trust the love. And I pointed out to my kids, I'm like, you know, we do something that you don't like or you think is unfair, know that we love you. Just trust the love. Trust that we love you and we're working for your good. You know, it's like, that's the foundation of our relationship, sweetheart, is love. We're not perfect like God is, so we're going to mess up. We're going to make the wrong calls. But trust the love that we have for you. We're never going to intentionally do anything to hurt you or to disappoint you. Trust the love.
Yeah, that's interesting you bring all that up. I've heard that numerous times over the past week. We've been doing our Bible reading and we were in 1 John, but also as a discipline during Lent, I've been reading 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified every day and trying to like really get it into me instead of just like reason through it. And you're right, that love, you got to trust the love. Trust the love. In God and in others.
Yeah. It hit me one day when reading, you know, think on these things, think on that which is pure and lovely and of a good report and worthy of praise. And you think about that concerning the assignment to think about other people that way. And it's just like, this is impossible. You know, this is too hard. And all of these filters, this whole list of filters of how God wants us to think about other people. And the Lord just spoke to me one day. He said, this is my filter. This is how I think about you. I think about you. I meditate on what is good, what is worthy of praise, what is honorable. You know, he's not meditating on the bad things. This is the filter he has put on himself of how he thinks about us. And that foundation, I've just spent some time thinking about that. Wow, that's a whole list of attributes that the Lord is disciplined himself, has restricted his own mind to think about me that way. to see me that way, then that foundation of love helps you to start releasing that to other people. Same thing with, you know, forgiveness. Yeah, how can we, you know, we can't receive forgiveness if we're not giving forgiveness. But the fact that we receive forgiveness helps us give it because we're aware of all that we've been forgiven of. So it's meditating not on what the other person did or how unlovely they are, which I will say has been a, has been something that I am still working on, you know, those thinking on those things.
Yeah.
But that's how God thinks about us. It's not just what he's telling us to do somebody else. That's worth meditating on.
Mm-hmm. True. That's true. Well, Lindsay, do you have anything, or Sandy, you have anything you want to?
No, I've just been soaking it up. Got some good quotes from April here.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about kind of the theme, and some of you've heard this from me, is something I felt the Lord spoke was nothing else matters. And it all comes down to what April was talking about, is what really matters in the end is, are we following the Lord? Are we learning how to do life with him? Are we loving others well as we love him? And what really matters? So,
Yep. It's all over our house. Nothing else matters. Of course, our teenager thinks she's putting up Metallica songs all over the place. So anyway.
That's funny. I'd say just a practical application of, as everything is going on. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in this world, and spiritually and physically and financially and all these things, is choosing to continue to turn and look at the Lord, continue to turn and look and meditate, spending more time meditating on his goodness, meditating on where you've seen his faithfulness in your life, meditating on those promises and the stories in the Bible of how under great persecution is where the greatest victories come from, and where these miracles in the Old Testament of Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all of these, you know, David and Goliath, and we get so excited about the victories and these faith heroes, and we forget that all of that happened in the middle of difficulty. You know, all of that happened in the middle of like the worst thing that they have ever come against in their life. But it was the choice that they made to look to God, to trust God, to not compromise, to know who their source is, to know who the where the power is, to know where the provision is, that got the results that we so admire. And so you can't get their results without doing what they did. And same thing with Jesus. We can't live the way he lived separate from how he lived it. And that was, I only do and I only say what I hear and I see from the Father. And so that tells you right there how important the hearing and the seeing is. And if your eyes are on the world, if your ears are on the world and the complaining and the negativity and all the terrible stuff, and we see it, you got to know what's going on. But if your eyes and ears are there, then you're not going to be able to have the results that we see in the Word, because you're not doing what is required, which is seeing by the Spirit and hearing by the Spirit and looking to function out of the kingdom that God provided and placed on the inside of us. We're supposed to live from the inside out, not be subject to what's happening. You know, most people live from the outside in. Everything that's happening around them affects how they feel on the inside. And we're supposed to flip that. We're supposed to change how we feel on the inside based on what we're meditating on in the Word. And that will change what's happening on the outside of us. And it's not for the faint of heart. That's why God says to guard your heart. It's not for the lazy. This takes work. It's a lot of work. Yes. But pressing into Him is worth it. And just a little bit of time encouraging yourself in the Word and spending with Him, I mean, just a little bit will just fling that weight off of your shoulders, will just fling that depression off. A little bit of the light of His love coming into your mind and your heart. I mean, a little bit of light disperses much darkness, and it's worth the effort.
Absolutely.
Well, April, I'm going to wrap this up. if you will, what I'd like for you to do, if you feel so inclined, is to pray for us and pray for our audience out there pertaining to what we've been talking about and stuff. But do you mind doing that?
I would love to do that. What an honor. And thank you for sharing your audience with me as well. Give me an opportunity to speak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Father, we just thank you, Lord. God, we thank you. You are Lord. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we first are so thankful that we know you. We thank you that we have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, God. What a gift to even see the truth of Jesus as our Savior. And Father, we just declare today that we will live differently, that we live differently from the world because we are covenant people. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we just submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to your word. We submit ourselves to your love, God. We choose to believe the truth that you love us, that Christ died for us, that he raised from the dead so that we can have the victory here and now. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus for an awakening to the hearts and the minds, the spiritual eyes and the spiritual ears of our friends that are listening. Lord, that they would hear your voice, that you are the good shepherd. And we hear your voice. You lead us to good places. You lead us into green pastures. You cause us to lie down beside the still waters, Father. Lord, and we just thank you, God, that you would start speaking to each individual things, specific things, personalized things, Lord, that you show them where the provision is. You show them where the peace is. You help them make the decisions concerning their thoughts and what to watch and how to raise their kids, what jobs to take, what jobs not to take, which roads to take. Father, Lord, that they would just start hearing your voice in the details as they turn and listen to you. God, I thank you that you are just igniting our hearts to live more intentional in everything with your Holy Spirit. What a gift to have your Spirit, the helper, our counselor, our teacher, our great advantage on the inside. Father, teach us how to take advantage in a good way, not a bad way, but take advantage in a good way of what you call our advantage, your Holy Spirit with us. Thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us 24/7, all the way through eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And can I just say, for all of your listeners out there and to you, Brandon, your wife is a whole lot of fun. We laugh so much on the phone, and I have just loved having that iron sharpening iron faith friend. And I'm so glad that you joined me on this, friend. I know it took a lot of coaxing, convincing.
Yeah, I kind of like behind the scenes, so I'm not usually out front, but
you,
I can.
You do great
I
out
just
front.
Don't.
Yeah.
Great out front. A wealth of knowledge and encouragement.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening and supporting us. And remember, stay naturally supernatural.